DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast. Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Samantha.
I am going to have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Welcome back to, once again, not another podcast, because this is not another podcast. This is a unique offshoot. This is a splinter cell of that podcast. I am Big Jim.
And I'm Samantha.
Awesome as always, from, you know, as the social media would dictate.
Duh. But how you? It's just the two of us.
It is. It's just the two of you. Me and Will Smith and one of those weird creepy kids in that stupid video. Just the two of us.
You and I.
I wonder, and this is going to sound really creepy right off the bat, but like how many, you would appreciate this. How many pedophiles do you think just sort of play that song kind of as like a little background music for like, you know.
Well, what's super funny is you say that, but I had the words NAMBLA in my head, so great minds think alike.
Broken minds think alike.
Yeah, broken, degenerate minds think alike.
So true.
So, no, I was thinking, NAMBLA, oh, man, I can't believe James let us do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, his inability to manage, you know, some obvious problems. You and I are both loose cannons when it comes down to it. And so here we are, face to face, just a couple of silver spoons. Open
voice
the fine. Yeah. Now I have to ask. I know a gentleman never asks and a lady never tells, but if you had to guesstimate, how old do you think that you might be? Like so, just like a broad stroke, kind of like you know a. What would be like the ballpark area as to how old you might be? I'm just trying to gauge it so that I know what kind of young person I'm dealing with.
Well, my maturity level would say 12.
Well.
No, I'm
12, very experienced 12.
Yeah, very experienced 12. NAMBLA would tell you the same thing.
Strike two. Yes.
I am actually 32.
Really?
But I look like I'm 27, so that's okay.
I was going to say, you look and you sound like, you know, I would card you at a store trying to buy, I don't know, stamps or fruit rolls or something.
Well, that's interesting because, like, they up the card to card. You, like, they have to card everyone under 40, so it's no longer, like, a compliment. And you're like, wait, are you calling me 21 or 40?
Sweetheart, let's be honest. It's clear that you're 41. You just have a lot of good product that you're wearing right now, some concealer. I don't know what it is that you girls use nowadays, but whatever it is, it looks fucking fantastic. Somewhere there's a painting of you getting more fabulous. That's just all I have to say.
It's all that fucking coconut oil and apple cider vinegar that's all the rage right now.
I don't know why you go to a store where Harvey Firestein is the guy behind the counter, but for whatever reason, in my head, that's kind of what I thought of. I don't know why.
Hey, and it works. That's how I think all... like old people talk about young people. So, hey, Jimmy, what you doing? You know, the super old, has no air left. I jumped hard and I scared myself.
You understand hip hop. If you know anything about rap, you know everything about the insane clown posse. Now sit down and listen, because here's the thing, there was a group of guys, okay? They were clowns and they were insane. And there was a group of them, a gang, no, a group, no, a cult, no, we'll call them a posse. Anyway, they had all kinds of crazy stuff. They had a mascot that was a little guy with a hatchet. Okay, Grandpa, here's the thing. Whatever dosage you're on, we're going to sort of cut that in half. Maybe the hatchet guy will stop bothering you then.
God, can you imagine having to tell our children? I mean, I don't have any kids, but you have a child, but my hypothetical children and your actual child... about the music we grew up with. There's some bands that I'm like, like Insane Clown Posse. I mean, no. Is there anything our parents were? Well, let me ask you, how old are you?
I am 40.
Okay, so you should have basically
a lot of
sand coming out of your, you know, you're dry. You should have sand coming out of your mouth when you talk because you're just up inside.
I do truly appreciate that orifice of choice. I would have chosen one. You went mouth. I was like, oh, she's gonna say you got sand coming out of your cock. Like it sounds like an empty super sucker when you come. So,
or just when you fart, it's just, you know, just. No, it's really light. There's no scent to it anymore.
Yeah.
Oh god, there's no scent to it anymore. You're just done. Like that's when you know life is over. Oh, my farts don't even smell anymore. But can you imagine telling? So we're not super off in age, but there's enough of a difference, at least in those formative years, when we have to tell our kids about the music we listen to and what our parents listen to. Like, I don't know of anything that was super embarrassing, but like, we haven't seen Clown Posse and be like, yeah, kids, this is what, and I had an ICP phase when I was younger, not gonna lie, I think everyone did.
Not everyone did. First of all, some of us were just like, okay, this is like the Mr. Yuck sticker of music right here.
I was young and stupid.
That's okay. I'm not judging. I'm just you know, we all make mistakes, Samantha B.
We do. Yeah, we're only human, unfortunately.
But I would say that our parents, I don't know how old, because my parents were really old when they had me. My mom is almost 80 now, so she was flirting with 40 when she had me. So I wouldn't say so much that they had embarrassing music back then. They had a lot of white people sounding white, doing white things in white ways. But ultimately, I'd say more the cartoons and shit, like of the 70s, the 60s and stuff, like the whole acid-induced Sid and Marty Krofft stuff. That, I think, truly, like, you know, there's no way you're going to try and hide don't do drugs when these are the things that are on TV right then and there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not so much embarrassing music, just embarrassing television and cartoons. That was super racist, too.
Without doubt.
Like, I adore the Looney Tunes, and I can't wait to show my kids Looney Tunes, but I may skip over the Mammy episodes.
The Mammy episodes?
Mammy, M-A-M-I-E, or, yeah.
Oh, God, the Tom and Jerry were like, she was the housekeeper?
Yes, but she, because Tom and Jerry is just separate from Looney Tunes, but they had the same, like, you know, the black woman with, and then they would have, like, the Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, big fat woman with, like,
That was a housekeeper and had, like, just the stereotypical, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna hate myself for saying this, but, a product of the time that they never showed the face, so never mind. I don't have to say that. So I was going to say big lips, but like just the portrayal of other races during that time was so, oh my gosh, like I'll probably just skip over those episodes.
Well, I mean, the whole concept of cartoons is it becomes a caricature of how life truly is.
Mm-hmm.
When it came down to stuff like Mammy and those various other, like, clearly, socially, non-sensitive characters that they would put on these cartoons, those were an embodiment of what was popular of times. So, yeah, I mean, just to sort of have those in, like, Disney's Song of the South, which we will never see on DVD ever again. That's in the vault in concrete next to Jimmy Hoffa's corpse. You know, and like $5 million in Nazi gold. Like that's the part of the vault that will never get opened ever again.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. But yeah, we have plenty of things to be embarrassed about. Like I mean,
spandex and big hair.
Well, for me, it was more like chokers and slap bracelets. Remember pogs?
Okay. Oh God, yes.
God, I had so many pogs.
The slammer? What was your favorite slammer?
I like sports and I'm a big Indians fan because go Cleveland. So I had this like big old heavy tribe, you know, Chief Wahoo.
Slammer.
Yeah, big old slammer. So I was like, yes, that was my favorite. And I never risked that one.
Yeah, that was the one that you kept, like, you know, in Mylar. And, like, you would show your friends, but, like, can I touch it? No, you may not.
This
I don't want your grubby
mine.
Little fucking peanut butter and jelly fingers all over my goddamn slammer.
My precious.
Stay with me. Be with me. Oh, my God. No, I never got into, Pogs was a little bit after me.
Mm-hmm.
I was heavily into, Garbage Pail Kids. Because.
Because that was before my time. So, yeah, I knew what they were, but they weren't a thing when I was a kid.
And they were just so disgusting and wrong and gross, and that your parents hated them, which made you love them even more.
Yep.
And I had this shoebox. It's so cliche. I had a shoebox under my bed that was almost filled to capacity with, like, the first, I think, three or four editions of Garbage Pail Kid cards. And, I mean, all my available, you know, childhood cash flow, all my disposable income would just go directly into buying more Garbage Pail Kids. And so, one day my mom just happened to randomly clean my room. She's like, oh, I threw out that pair of shoes you had under your bed. I'm like, I didn't, wait, you threw out my shoes? She said, no, that shoebox you had under your bed. I'm like, that wasn't a shoebox. Mom, that was my Garbage Pail Kids. I ran upstairs, and it was like that scene from Seven, but like, kind of not in the box. Where's the box?
Where's the box?
And Morgan Drew's just like, don't do it, son. Don't do it. Don't shoot your mother. That'd be bad. He wouldn't have dinner for a week.
Just know, a week? Like your dad will find a new mom for you that fast?
You know, he was a smooth motherfucker. I'm just saying. Like, he was casual, you know.
So that trait did not pass on to you?
Tragically, no.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, there's plenty of other stuff that, you know, we as, I don't want to say middle age, because, I mean, this doesn't feel middle to me. This feels like, you know, just another step. I mean, if this isn't the middle for me, then I'm going to be 80 and be like, you know, oh, you know, back then when I was a youngster at 40. But we all, when you're a young adolescent, you're basically like a raw, exposed nerve. And you just kind of, like, everything that happens to you is either the best thing ever or the worst thing that any other human being has ever had.
No one's ever experienced this feeling ever. I'm the only human that's ever been heartbroken.
You don't get it. You just don't.
You'll never understand me. You're never my age. You just.
I'm gonna run to my room.
You hatched as an adult. Leave me alone.
Cut to random, bizarre, you know, comedy or die, laugh or die, YouTube video of, like, some full-grown adult being birthed of another full-grown adult. thanks, Mom, I'm going to go do my taxes.
Oh, here, give me your paperwork. I'll do yours, too, while I'm at it, because I'm a good adult son or daughter.
A good middle-aged son, yeah, exactly.
Well, and I feel what you're feeling about, like, middle-aged and stuff, because when I was a teenager, it was like, oh, well, I'm going to get married at 21. I'm going to have kids by 25 because when you're that young, that seems so far away and it seems so old. And then when I got to like 19, 20, I was like, man, fuck that. I'm going to get married around 25, have kids. I'm 32 now. I'm unmarried, have no children. And I'm like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm like, I'm good. So.
Push it back, push.
Right. I'm like, let's just wait a few 5 or 10 years before we even discuss this. So, it's funny how your mindset changes. And, you know, I've looked into having kids by myself. Like I said, I do have a boyfriend, but, you know, like we're not to that level yet. So, you know, who knows what could happen. But, like, I've looked in. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have you reproducing asexually? You're not quite ready there yet, or?
No, I've looked into having a kid by myself. Because I also wasn't dating someone at the time, but it's just like, we're not at that point yet, and I'm like, but anyway, it's funny how your perspective changes, because I still feel young, like 32, I don't feel that that's old. But when I was 15, I was like, oh my god, my life will be over.
No, I was convinced when I was in, like, say, seventh or eighth grade, I was convinced by the time I hit 21 that all the questions of my life would be answered. And I was right. I was totally right. All the questions of my seventh and eighth grade mind were answered by 21.
Where does putty come from? What's in a hot dog?
What the fuck is a 401k? I don't understand. All these new questions sort of flooded into like the vacuum that those previous questions had been answered by. I'm just like, thank God.
Oh, that was my dog. I went through a bit of a rough spot throughout 2016, and I needed a second job. So I'm working this other job at an escape room as one of the actors, and it's
it's one of those things where, like, you know, you pay money and you go in, like, it's like riddles and shit you have to sort of solve. Oh my god, I love that shit.
Yep, I used to be one of the actors in them.
So jelly right now.
Oh, you should look at my Instagram, because I have all my makeup from being the zombies. All my zombie makeup is on there, because we did our own makeup and effects and stuff like that. So it was actually a lot of fun. I learned a lot, but it was really rough because I'm working a full-time day job, working a part-time evening job. I only had one day off a week, and that was really so I could rehearse with the company that I'm trying to help build, you know, that I'm a part of, and the troupe that I'm a part of. So I'm like, oh, I'm going insane, and I'm trying to do our marketing too. And so it was a nutty time. But and I was writing too, and now that I have time to write, I'm like, I don't know what to write. But at that time, I'm like, gotta get shit done. I'm the worst procrastinator on earth. But I was one of the oldest people that worked there. You know, I was the other older person was. There was one girl that was the same age as me, and there was one other girl that was 27.
Yeah.
So I was the oldest person that was there, other than the owners of the company. And tax season comes around, and I'm the only one asking questions about taxes, where is everything going, they're late, blah blah blah, and everyone's looking at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, adulting, kids, get on it.
Brittany, what you talking about? I don't know, Skylar, but I think it's kind of like an old person thing, like when you get old, you have to pay taxes on life or something. I don't fucking get it.
I don't know what taxes mean.
It's cray. It's cray cray. It's toe cray. I hate you both, and if I could, I would suck out all of your life and your potential, and I would feed Egyptian stole crystal that exists in where my heart should be, but now I've got this thing, and you have all of them with life and time and opportunity in front of you. Good for fucking you. Did I say that loud? I'm so sorry. HR's right there. I apologize. Gary, just stay in your seat. I apologize. We're all good? All right, bye. And then you let yourself out.
Yeah, Gary's sitting there. He's the only one older than you. Like, fuck these kids. Here's your text.
But you know what? She's totally right. She's totally right. We'd totally suck their fucking their life force out of them if I could.
Gary's just beat down. Has nothing left. He's.
Well, tomorrow I'll get hit by a car and have a couple of weeks off where I can just sit and watch Judge Mathis. That'd be great.
Oh, but my insurance won't cover any of it, and then I'll be broke for life. That's how life works.
It is, and it's not a fun thing, kids. For all of you youngsters listening to the show right now, stay young. Just stay fucking young, you know. I don't know, what do you do on your weekends, you know? Go to the drive-in movies with your best gal, you know, stab a soche, you know, live in a fucking church for a couple of weeks until the heat dies down, dye your hair, do whatever the fuck it is that you do, but just don't get old, because when you do, shit just sucks all the way around.
Right, and I feel like people end up taking themselves way too seriously. I was like, calm down. Nothing is that serious. So I think it's super important to keep a childish, like, innocence about you and you know, play. Play. Have fun. Lighten the fuck up. Like, this is all we have that we know of right now in this plane of existence. Like, exactly. Come on.
You know, And it's the one thing that I truly cherish the most about having a 2-year-old daughter is the fact that I have someone that can just sort of be weird with in a store, and I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about me and her. Just like, you know, she's babbling in like her weird little, like, you know, adorable, like,
baby language.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm asking, I'm pretending like, you know, she's asking legitimate questions. Cool. I don't know why Joe Biden said that, but I mean, it's weird that you have like an actual opinion on that whole thing. We'll wait and maybe we'll watch, you know, Stephen Colbert tonight, and he'll have a better idea as to how to move forward from this point, you know, or whatever. Just, you know, just someone to sort of like sit around and like, I love the sort of, when she's on the ground, like we'll be watching TV and like she'll be just like laying on her stomach on the carpet. Like, you know what? Dude, get the fuck down there. So I'll climb down onto the floor and the two of us will just sort of be there like two little kids. Like I've got that back now. It's the most beautiful thing that I've ever hoped to have back in my life, and it happens. So,
That
got weird and real.
No, hey, real's fun, but real is also where comedy lies. So, yeah. I mean, you're a stand-up. You, I'm sure, pull from reality a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was it comedy plus, or I'm sorry, time plus tragedy equals comedy?
Yeah. No, yeah, time plus tragedy equals comedy. Over time, yeah, it's comedy is pain. We know what we're talking about. God damn it! Fuck the bozos. You don't understand their world. it's one of those things, but it's also like our own weird sideways interpretation of what reality is. Because most people are, you know, they're sheep. They're the people from God damn it, they live. You know, you and I are the Roddy Pipers of this fucking world, and everybody else are the people that don't understand that if you don't put the fucking sunglasses on, you don't get to see how the world really fucking works. So put them the fuck on, learn some shit, and, you know, evolve, you know, and, you know, rebel in some way.
Yeah. I haven't rebelled in a long time. I think it's about time I do that. I think I'm gonna take a sod off into my... No, I was kidding. Oh my God, totally just kidding. yeah. Well, I've got this corporate day job. That's just, it's not beating me down. The old position I had in this place was, and I was like, oh my gosh, kill me now. I hate going into work. This sucks. But then I got a job in a different department. It's so much better. I don't hate going to work anymore, but it's still not what I want to be doing. We're trying to build what I want to be doing. And, you know, with it's all been done, like we just had our 2-year anniversary and, you know, so now it's time to start making the money.
Well, let me ask you the Barbara Walters question that I'm sure all the listeners are hoping that gets asked. If I had a magic wand and I handed it to you and you could just sort of wave it, what would your ideal situation be like? What would a Samantha Stark, you know, perfect world be like for her?
Oh, man. So, no holds barred, perfect ideal world. No, it's fine. not at all. So I've been on the hunt for a house mainly because I would love some land for my dogs to run around in. I mean, I walk them multiple times a day, but I think it would just be nice to have like a big old yard where the three of us can just run and be goofy. So I want a couple acres, but I want a house like Stephen King's. Like, I want this big old gothic house that is, like, the one that the kids are afraid to go to. Like, that's the house. That's what I want to live in. I want to live in an attic.
I was
going to
say the
dog's
great.
So apparently, the dogs either really like that or they hate that. Wyatt! There we go. Gotta be the alpha.
Damn, we all shut up. Seriously, I even showed you. I was going to say, like, nope.
Not talking. Don't fuck with Sam.
Master just said to shut the fuck up. So you shut the fuck up.
Good girl, thank you.
Things are forward, doesn't matter. She said shut up, shut the fuck up.
You can hear they're quiet now. So it's all in the tone. It's all in the tone. You gotta drop that tone. So mean it. So I want a big old gothic house that like people are afraid to go to. That's what I want to live in. And I want a few acres, and I want to raise bees. So dogs and bees is what I want. I know that sounds so weird. But occupation-wise, ideally, I would love to be a voice actor, and with the occasional appearance on film, television, and movies, I would love to act, and then I would be writing on the side, because I love to write. So I want to be an author, an actor, voice actor, and I want land and a big gothic-style scary house. Then I want people to leave me alone.
I want a house that you don't get to come to. That's the house I want.
Well, I want to live someplace where people have to really like me to want to go all the way out there. Like, they have to try.
Well, we're going to go over to Samantha's house, but wait, Samantha Stark's house? You mean Stately Stark Manor? I hear it's built on ancient Native American haunted gift shop that was also part of an even older Native American haunted theme park, which is also built on top of an even older, even more American situation. So
funny. So same question back at you. What's your ideal, you know, setup?
Well, take care of my family, first and foremost. Make sure that my mom has got a very nice, comfortable place to be.
Oh, I probably should have said that, too.
Oh, yeah, you probably should have, but you didn't, and I did, because I'm a good son.
Love you,
and,
Mom.
Yeah, no, she can't hear you. She can't hear you. It's all in my earphone.
I'm going to text her right now.
Okay, you're going to text my mom.
Yeah, I'm going to text my mom.
Okay, well. But, I mean, take care of the people first. You know, but ultimately, I would also like a very nice, kind of spooky, preferably, if it's on the market, I want a house that's also supposedly or legitimately haunted. I want a haunted fucking house, plus I want fucking secret passageways all through that bitch.
Like the Clue movie.
Yes, exactly. But even more so, like one step beyond that, I want a fallout shelter below it. So that, like, when shit goes crazy, and they have to go all, like, you know, fucking, like, you know, doomsday preppers. I got that shit on lock, dude. I want to have my Hulu and my Netflix shit. It's already, all the passwords are already saved. It's the hard drive, so all I'm just going to do is click on it. Boom, Amazon Fire Stick. Guess what? Entertainment for the rest of eternity. Fuck all you other carbon-based life forms. You're done. Here's my rest of my life.
Okay, 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, I want to be John Goodman's roommate, and I smell it right there. John Goodman and Big Jim coming this fall to Fox.
Oh my gosh, I would totally watch that buddy cop show.
He's a comic. He's a former divorcee from Lamford, Illinois. Can they make it work? Find out Thursdays at 9.
Oh, like, my gosh.
You know, I mean, but I ideally, like, you know, comedy and everything else aside, I just really like helping people. You know, I worked in retail in more than a couple of capacities, and what ruined that for me is the shitty customers.
Yeah.
The ones that would be like, you know what, I can treat you any way I fucking want because I'm giving you my money, which means you have to kiss my fucking ass. And guess what, bitch? You ain't the only person with money. If you come in there and you have a legitimate question or you have a need or something that I can assist you with, I will go out of my fucking, well, I'll go like to other galaxies to find what it is that will make you happiest when you leave. Not because I'm trying to make the company look better, but because that makes me feel good about the fact that you had a problem and, yo, I solved it, so you check out the fucking hook. Well, I fucking revolve it. I mean, that's how that works. You know, but there's that sense, I don't know, is it, it's kind of, I don't know, would you define it as like selfish or altruistic that I enjoy helping other people in that manner? You know, I do enjoy helping people have a problem get solved, and I like being the one that kind of helps them solve that problem. But, you know, ultimately, it's a weird kind of a mindset where I just want to be able to have a job where I feel like I'm giving something back. I'm using these talents and these skills. Oh, that sounds so fucking narcissistic, but I don't give a shit. I got some skills, I got some talent, so let him put them out there and utilize them to the best of his ability. And if at the end of the day, I get to walk out and clock out and feel like, you know what, I made some other people smile and laugh and feel better about whatever crappy thing that it came into my store or my business or whatever, and by the time they left, they were laughing, they were joking, and, you know, whether or not they come back, that's regardless. I know that I made a difference in that person's life for just a hot fucking minute. That, to me, is worth all the fucking mansions that are haunted or potentially haunted, with all the fallout shelters, with all the meals ready to eat, also distilled water, lots of fucking porn.
Yeah.
Hentai, but that's just me. But, you know, either way, like, it's better than all of those things put together. How about you? Like, what is it that you, outside of comedy, what are the things that you genuinely are passionate about? And you can't say the things that I just said.
I can't say anything you just said, so not a single word, damn it.
Not one of fuck people, fuck the world, kill people, burn shit, fuck school, Samantha Stark.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
You know, here's the thing. I don't know why I was going to talk like the old guy from Pet Sematary, but, you know, there's a girl, stole a bunch of rubies, and she just wanted to watch the world burn. Yeah, that was a joke. It was funnier in my head than when it actually came out of my mouth, and it was just bad and fatal. And sand to my...
I tell plenty of those kind of jokes. It's okay. Or ones that are just so crazy gross that even I go, ooh, that was not great. So I'm going to awkwardly walk this way.
we'll finish the show off, which is like the most grossest, most disturbing shit ever, so that James will never, ever again let this two happen.
Bonnie,
do it.
So a couple of things that I've always been super passionate about, as you can hear my dogs barking, because I love my dogs. I love dogs in general. My family has been training dogs since World War II.
Seriously?
Yeah. We used to train war dogs and search and rescue dogs and stuff like that, and that just kept going. So I am a certified trainer. You wouldn't tell that by my bull terrier right now because she's a little crazy. But she...
Right.
They were quiet, though.
Quiet hammer? I have the quiet hammer in my hand right now. Do you want the quiet hammer? You don't? All right, good. Stay there. You cower. You twitch. And you say nothing while mommy gets to talk for the next 45 minutes, then.
Right. Well, normally, like, She-Ra, the puppy... she's just entering her terrible twos, so that's fun to deal with, and they're wrestling right now. You can hear them wrestling in the other room. But, so she's entering her terrible twos. My other dog is about to be 8 years old. Dogs are a huge passion. There's no such thing as a bad dog, but there's only bad people. Pit bulls are not murderers, so if you think they are, then you have some research to do, because you have no clue what you're talking about. Same thing with Doberman Pinschers and Rotties.
Can I toss them in real quick?
Yeah.
So, when I was a kid, my dad had this old army buddy of his named Chuck. And whenever I needed a haircut and dad couldn't afford one, he'd take me over to Chuck and he would give me a very militaristic crew cut. So, imagine, say, I don't know, like 9 or 10, 11-year-old Jim, chubby, just dealing with a whole lot of social awkward issues. Plus a crew cut, just like, fuck, it's right unfuckable across my forehead. And there it is. That's what you need right there. But he had this fucking, like, this Jack Russell Terrier that was fucking super old. But you wouldn't know it was Jack Russell Terrier because usually Jack Russells are, you know, they're very energetic. They're usually pretty, like, you know, personable. This one was not. This one, you could tell, had been beaten into a very... very fine fucking mold of discipline and protection.
Poor baby.
And I think absolutely. You know, I made a mistake one time when my dad and I went over to their house. We were all hanging out in the kitchen, and my dad and Chuck were talking, and Smokey, I believe was the name of the dog, Smokey was underneath the table eating. And I'm like, oh, where's the dog? Well, he's right down there. Okay, that's fine. So as they're talking, I went underneath the table, and I'm like, oh, such a cute dog. So I started petting him, and I realized that's not what you do. to a dog treated that way. And I found out the hard way because this dog, shit you not, bit me in my face. And it got bloody real quick, and I cried, and I freaked out. My dad freaked out on Chuck, and he freaked out on me, and so I'm crying, and he's freaking out. Everything's gone sideways. But, I mean, people would assume that the big dogs are like Rottweilers, like you said, Rottweilers and Pitbulls or Doberman Pinschers. These are the dogs that were bred to be a certain way. No, they're just animals, just like humans are. There's no bad, you know, I shouldn't say there's no bad kids, only bad parents, because then you get the Menendez kids, but that's a whole that's a different story. Well, but
and that's, you know, the thing is it's going to happen. There's going to be a bad seed in every bunch, but that's not how you judge the entire breed or the entire group.
Exactly. That's animalism, if you will. I mean, you can be racist or sexist, it's animalist. You say that one breed of animal is just going to be this way, and there's no exceptions. It's horseshit.
Yep, and they're bred to be, they're family dogs. They're people protectors. Pit bulls are known as the nanny dog. They're bred to, you know, they're helpers. The very, the most decorated, still to this day, war dog from World War I is Sergeant Stubby, and he was a pit bull. The very first service animal was Helen Keller's dog, and that was a pit bull. So, you know, that's what, they're lovey dogs. They're bred to be loyal, you know, and, like, it's just, it's, I'm super passionate about it, and also, this designer dog BS. I hate so much, and I have, like, this rant that's ready, at the ready all the time. Like,
you're a cocked real quick?
I'll give you the tiny squirt. Not the full load.
I don't know what that means, but
but mainly...
Not my eyes or my hair, please.
Yes. No, no. Maybe just a little up your nose.
I can smell you coming. Anyway,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is that the line? Fuck you.
Hilarious. So,
that other dog, he hissed at you. What did he say? He said, I could smell your bitch. I was trying to make it, yeah, it's whatever. Just please, can we cut that one out? That was a sad joke right there. Just let that one go.
All good.
Anyway, yeah.
So,
launch your rant.
Yeah, so here's the mini rant, is that you can't have a breed of dog that, you know, like let's take the Labradoodle, for instance, because that's one of the most popular, that and the Puggle. So the Labradoodle and the Puggle. Labradoodle, Labrador Retriever, and a Poodle. You try to breed it because it's going to be hypoallergenic. First of all, there's no such thing as a hypoallergenic animal. If you get a Maltese or a poodle or something that has hair and not fur, it's less dander and people have less of an allergic reaction to it. They're not hypoallergenic. So if you use that, I'm going to punch you in the face. So you have one that is less, you have just like a sensitive, someone who's sensitive to dander, you want to get a dog with hair, not fur. So they're breeding the lab with that to get this dog when you already have it right here. These breeds have been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So these breeds have been around for a long time. A breed has to have a purpose. A breed has to, you know, so they're bred for a reason. They're bred for a job. You don't just breed a dog to breed a dog. You breed it for a specific job, for a specific purpose. Now, the biggest problem with designer dogs is that, and here's the biggest reason they are not a breed, is because you can't breed them together. You cannot take two Labradoodles and continue breeding Labradoodles because they start losing any feature that you're trying to have. It takes many, 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 many years to create a breed, and even then, it's going to take another many, many, many years to even be recognized as an actual breed. There are dogs that have been around for 1,000 years that are still not recognized by clubs as an actual breed. So you have to have a purebred poodle. You have to have a purebred Labrador in order to make your coined Labradoodle. And don't pay out the nose for one because they're stealing your money. Go to the shelter and get yourself a mutt.
Exactly. They're not just stealing your money, but, I mean, you're paying someone that is treating animals horribly. They're basically like, you know, monetizing them down to, I don't care about your pain. I don't care about your suffering. You're a dollar sign to me.
Yeah, those puppy mills, man.
I've got some friends of mine they love and care about very dearly, and they just lost their one dog. Mm-hmm. And it's just a dog they have for like 17 years. And we've been a part of the woman's life for years and years and years and years. And so when this dog passed away, and they had to be euthanized, and I mean, you want to hear a fucking sob story? Like, she held the dog's head in her hands while, you know, it just slowly passed away. And so this fucked her up badly.
Yeah.
And the first thing that she wanted to do afterwards, you know, she mourned for like about maybe about a week or two. And she said, I want another dog. Like, right now, I'm just, no, give it time. This dog deserves some mourning period. Just mm-hmm. do that for them. Get your head straight. You just jump right in. Nope, get a new dog. And they spent, I don't know, to have the dog cremated was like $400 and some odd.
Yeah.
And they went to this other puppy mill and they spent
$700. Oh my god, and a puppy mill. Oh my god.
Purebred fucking puppy. And the puppy is adorable, yes. But, you know, there are all these other just animals that are just hungry, just desperately starving for love and support and acceptance. Yeah. And would be loyal to you. Well, again, you can't make a blanket statement. You can't say all dogs are evil in the same way you can't say all dogs are good.
Right.
But if you treat them right, if you raise them right, if you love them and support them and do the best that you can, the odds are good, I would say, that dog's going to turn out to be a great family pet. The previous trauma that dog had experienced prior to it being in that shelter, that's beyond your control. But all you can do is try to help heal that whole thing by giving them another chance with a family that's willing to love them and not abandon them or treat them badly the way that they had been treated. So,
right.
God bless you and your family. And you guys have been doing this since, what, World War fucking II? Seriously?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my grandmother bred for a little while. I wanted to get into the breeding game when I was a kid, but as I got older and saw a lot, like, how a lot of things, like, you know, real world actually worked, I was like, because there are some really wonderful breeders out there for specific, like, Shira, my younger, is a purebred. She is an AKC dog, and she's the first dog, I mean, and I'm all about rescuing, but she was also an oopsie litter.
What's an AKC dog?
American Kennel Club.
Okay.
But gotcha. She was an oopsie litter. She's not like quote breed standard. She's actually way too small for her breed. But you know, she needed a home too, and she was a return. They just couldn't handle like the energy of the terrier, and so she was taken back to the breeder, and I was like, well, I'll take her. And he gave me a discount because she was, you know, because I'm a veteran and because I train and I do all this stuff. You're right. She's sitting right here with me like, hi, mommy. You're talking about me. I just know it. I just know you're talking about me. Hi. Why? She's going to bark right into the microphone, aren't you? Because I'm.
So this podcast will be called Samantha and Her Bitches. And I
yes.
got more bitches. Yeah.
My two bitches.
My two bitches. Don't Samantha start.
But you know, and props to your friend though for being there when her dog passed.
Yeah.
Because and I've seen this quote before. Like, your dog is a part of your life, but is a part of your world, but you are their whole world.
Yeah. So on that note, which is a very true and very heartfelt statement of fact. I would agree with that 100%. I also have other friends that refer to their pets as, you know, this is my daughter or my son or whatever. That to me is like taking the love. I mean, I would dare venture to say your love for your pet is unique. It is for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like, this is my dog. I'm a grand, you know, my grand puppy.
My mom says that.
Yeah, and just like, you know, no, please don't, because I don't know. It, to me, it seems rather creepy and really, I don't know. Would codependent kind of fit in that realm? I don't know.
A little bit. It's anthropomorphic is what it's called when you start humanizing your animal.
Yes.
To the point where you don't treat them like they're an animal anymore. Because it's, they still are an animal. They still have different needs than a human would. So, oh, Shira Hush.
Oh, I think someone disagrees.
Yeah, she was like, excuse me.
I am the princess of fucking power. Don't you dare say that I am not worth
actually,
every aspect of my thing.
Actually, that's her whole title. Is she's Shira, princess of power, spelled P-A-W-E-R.
Oh, God, the pun.
That's her official title.
Oh. I'm going to pull the pun dagger out of my heart. Back to you. There you go. That is for you. Oh.
But she's so funny. This dog cracks me up every day. And then my older dog, I've had her since she was a year and a half. It was just me and her for like 4 years. You know, just the two of us. And then I brought this little demon home. Whoops! Yeah.
So, okay, not to say that you've loved one... So are you dog-centric, or are there other pets you've had during the course of your life? Are you just like an animal person all the way around?
Oh, hold on 1 second. Ugh. Well, I love animals in general. I also have a snake. His name is Mr. Slithers.
Nice.
I will never have another reptile. I like them. I enjoy them. I think when people have them, it's great. But I don't want to deal with the tank and all that. He eats frozen, so, you know, I don't have to keep mice.
He eats what?
Frozen mice.
Okay, let's just real quick. Where, I would dare ask, where at Fred Meyer's does one go to find the frozen mice section? Or does Petco have, like, you know, where's your cooler at in the back? Sweet, I'm gonna pick up like a half rack of mice.
That's actually exactly correct. There's a refrigerator that'll have frozen mice and frozen rats of all different sizes. They also have the frozen stuff for the saltwater fish to eat, because a lot of them are carnivores. So.
No. Malia had, she had two blood parrots, fish that only ate frozen chunks of beef heart, and she would get them, and they look like an ice cube tray. And you keep them in the freezer until it's time to feed them. And say, "Do you want to feed my fish?" And say, "Yeah, where's like the little cute little, you know, oregano dispenser? Like, sort of like throw some food pellets in it." Like, no. It's in the freezer. They look like ice cubes, but they're actually chunks of bovine heart. I'm like, right here. I'm like, okay, that's disturbing as fuck. I'm not cleaning your tank, and I have to leave now. So have a good life, you and your crazy fucking carnivorous crazy. And they look like big fat fucking goldfish, but they ate meat. And any other fish that came in that tank, guess what?
It's
they
dead.
Became food also.
Yeah. Yep.
It's crazy.
That's what happens.
Crazy.
But in addition to dogs, reading in books is a huge passion. But we've been talking about mine for a while. What about yours?
My passions?
Yeah, outside of comedy and like your public persona.
Yes, well, you know, being a nudist enthusiast, running around naked and what have you.
I was hoping you'd say that.
You know, when you're blessed with a frame like this, you have to share it with the world. Don't hide that light under a bushel basket. You share it with the fucking world.
Do you ever watch Bob's Burgers?
I love fucking Bob's Burgers.
Oh, my God. That's it's one of my favorite shows in the world. Do you remember the episode where they were overlooking the nude beach? And the kids were like, "What is this?" And they're like, no. This is reality. This is what people really, you're paying for, like, this is reality. And I was like, oh my God, I will never go to the nude beach.
Then, okay, so I've been to Rooster Rock in Oregon, just outside of Portland. Rooster Rock, for those of you that are listening that don't know, Rooster Rock is it's a chunk of, I believe it's the Columbia River. It's very secluded. So you walk down a certain path towards the water. And at a certain point down this path, there's a big sign that says, BT Dubstep, you might be walking by some nigga folk from this point on. So prepare yourself or just make it about face and do a 180 and just go back the other way. So I'm there. It's me. It's Malia. It's my friend Nate that I worked at the porn store with. my other friend Megan, who I also worked the porn star with and who later became a stripper, her stripper friend were also there. And so all the gals got topless, as did Nate and I, which was totally not as big of a thing as, you know how hard it is to be there with your significant other, and there's two other women with no shirts on air, you're just strained to maintain eye contact. and not be just creepy as fuck. It's like, I'm looking at you in the eyes right now. Can you feel me? I'm staring into your soul, not your boobs. That would be sexist. Be wrong. I'm sorry. But no, so anyway, we're there. We're having fun on the beach, whatever. I don't give a shit. But this guy comes by. And then when I say guy, I mean this older guy. Had to be like
no.
late 50s, you know, early to mid 60s on a jet ski. And he was fat. And he was also topless. But, which, you know, his boobs, I think, were bigger than all three of us put together on the beach. But as we're sitting there, you know, we're just having a good time. He sees us. He stops his jet ski in the middle of the river, looks over at us, stands up on his jet ski, and he's wearing these boy cut Speedos.
Oh. So
not quite like the boxer, not quite the brief version of Speedos, but like the boy cut. Drops those bitches down and lets his bird just get some air. Just like lets it out. And I'm like, what the fuck are we watching right now? And the girl's like, this is fucking creepy as hell. And I just went, hey, Mr. McGillicuddy, hey, I had you third period math class. How you doing? And
oh,
I don't
my
know,
God.
Freaking the fuck out. He got back on his fucking jet ski and he just scooted the fuck away. So yeah, needless to say, kids, don't go to a nude beach unless you're willing to have your bird gawked at and possibly, you know, shunned by those that don't wish to have you in their nest. So, long way back around the barn. I mean, obviously you mentioned animals as well. I'm a huge animal enthusiast myself, specifically dogs for the most part. I have met a lot of really chill cats in my life. I've also met a lot of asshole cats.
Yeah.
So then I have met some cool cats. Because, I mean, with dogs, like, they give so much of a shit about your presence, and they love you, and they hunger for your love and your acceptance, and, you know, you're all around, like, you know, when they say you're a best friend, I mean, they personify that whole thing. Cats are just like, they can give a fuck less if you're there or you're not. They're gonna shit in one of your slippers either way. It's gonna fucking happen. So just brace yourself. Check before you just, you know, get out of bed in the morning and be happy in that whole capacity. But no, I've always loved animals because they, to me, show what a person's true form is. You can be an asshole on the outside, or you can be like a hard ass or a control freak or this, that, and the other. But a lot of times when those same people are presented with an animal, those walls just sort of crumble because the animal has so much kind of a strange power over their desire to have control over other aspects of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no judgment with animals. They are who they are. And they look, see? All right. We got a bark of appreciation. We got a bark of acceptance right there. You know, so, I mean, I'm passionate about that, you know, and just, people in general, like, you know, regardless of your race or your creed or your age or your gender or your gender reassessment or your anything, really. Like, it seems like such a hopeless pipe dream, but, like, you know, to live in a world where we can all just sort of have a quiet time where there isn't so much just anger and hatred being lobbed just haphazardly at people that you didn't even fucking know about.
Mm-hmm.
You have no clue what the fuck they've been through. All you know is that their shit is different than yours, and that's a reason in your mind to shovel shit on them endlessly. And if you don't, you feel like you're doing someone a disservice. You know, that, eradicating that is a passion of mine, but I don't know really how to kind of go about doing that whole thing. But as, and I look back, you know, I was born in 76, as things were then, opposed to how they are now, I do feel that a lot of positive steps have been made at this point, but, you know, we're not quite there yet. So I'm passionate about getting all of us to that point where, you know, fuck it, if it doesn't concern you, then why the fuck are you concerned? Just like, let that shit go. Let them be happy with themselves, and you focus the fuck on you and stop focusing so much on these, this other thing that is not your fucking concern.
Yeah, you do you, they do them. Leave each other alone.
Exactly. Exactly. So, in the previous episodes that we had had with James, we had talked about relationships and this, that, and the other. And I had to come up with an idea about an hour or so before we started recording about the music of our relationships, either current or past. I would say focusing more on the past. The songs that, you know, when you're a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of a situation, oh, we have to have a song. This is our song. They're playing our song right now. Like that sort of thing. Or like after a breakup happens, a song that sort of like, you know, popped up, like, you know, this song is just, it's summing up all of my emotions right now. I'm here. I'm at a hot topic. I'm hurt. I'm trying to figure out what Chuck Norris book to buy. I don't understand. I just need help. But thank you, Snow Patrol, for finally getting it all down.
Snow Patrol, oh my God.
It all makes sense for me. So, I've got a couple of songs that I know have a distinct correlation between myself and previous relationships, and I would dare put that ball in your court as well. What songs have affected you, either pre-relationship, current relationship, or relationship as it was happening, or post-relationship? Because music has that way of just like punching a hole into your heart. It is like planting eggs and seeds in a nest. You're infested with the song. So after the relationship either goes tits up, or even continues on, you hear the song, and it invokes this emotion in you.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's, I have a... For the two songs that get me the most, there's okay. one that is more on the funny side, like the fuck you side, and there's one that's more on the, yeah, this dude's emotionally jacked and this song makes me really sad side. So which one do you want me to start with?
Okay, let's start with tragedy and then we'll end with comedy. How's
that? Sounds good. So the one of the songs that it used to get me, it used to make me cry a lot, but now it's just a really good song. It does remind me of that time, but, you know, it's by Blue October, and it's called Hate Me.
Hate Me. That sounds super fucking familiar.
It's a really great song, and my psychopath ex used to always say it would just be easier if you hated me, because he's all sorts of just emotionally jacked in the head. I honestly think he's gay, and I think he hates himself for it, so he tries to force himself to be straight.
Damn.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff going there, and he's also a horrible alcoholic, which is in complete denial right now, so it's just, it wasn't a good situation, and I'm so happy I'm out of it. But Blue October, Hate Me, it just summed up a lot of the emotional part of that horrible time.
I'm going to look that song up after the show, but, I mean, can you, like, say some of the lyrics so I can – because it sounds like it's like right there in the back of my memory tongue, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, let me – because I have the tune in my head. Let me get the lyrics.
Okay, so while you do that – I'll throw one out there. So, yeah, I'm outside right now. My neighbors are probably listening, and I don't give a fuck. But the first time I got a honk on Bobo, you know, a little, you know, blowy action, I was in high school. I was a freshman. She was a senior. Fucking hey, hey. And we were sitting literally in her car next to my dad's house after school. You know, we were making out for a while, and, like, you know, this is great. Like, you know, her little, you know, what was it, like a, wasn't a Reliant K, it was like a, goddamn, it was an entire, Plymouth Horizon, that's what it was. It was a tiny little, like, hatchback Plymouth Horizon. And so there's not a whole lot of action going on in a Plymouth Horizon, but this one, for whatever reason, you know, some shit was going down. Like, it was like that Model T from Titanic, you know.
Yeah.
hands, you know, up against like the windowsill, but they're my hands, which are kind of weird and gross, and, like, you know, blood blisters and shit all over. That's just, oh god, just paint me like one of your French guides or whatever. So anyway, we're making out, and then all of a sudden she starts going, you know, down my thorax, my chest bits, you know, and she's heading towards, you know, Happy Town. And so as she's doing so, I'm just like, okay, so this seems to be going really well for me. I apparently have done something right today, thank God. And so the fly gets undone, and everything else. I'll spare you the specifics of that whole thing, but the funniest, the most best part, this will ruin the song for you for the rest of your fucking life, because every time you hear it, you'll be thinking about this goddamn story. It's right when she starts to get really enthusiastic in that whole general area, John Cougar Mellencamp comes on the fucking radio of 96.7, Hot 97, and it was Hurt So Good. And doing her thing, and listening to this whole song, I don't even like really focus on the song at that point. I'm just sort of like, you know, sitting back in the seat, in this fucking, you know, this Plymouth, you know, this Plymouth Horizon, and so, you know, trying to enjoy the ride and everything else. And she hears the song, and she's doing stuff, and then she just starts to laugh. And I'm just like, what's so fucking funny? She's like, no, it's the song. I'm like, right, sure. My masculine pride for the rest of my life shook to its core. Like, no, it hurts so good. That's the reason why I'm laughing. Like, no, it's not. It can never be good enough. It can never be, you know, whatever. But yeah, so that song to me, every time the opening riff will come on and be like, oh.
This song.
I hate this song kind of a thing. So Michelle Hill, wherever you are right now, appreciation, you know, much love and acceptance and everything else, and I hope you're doing well. But yeah, you ruined that song for me. So, I don't know.
All right, so I have the chorus to Hate Me.
Okay, lay it on me.
So it goes, hate me today, hate me tomorrow, hate me for all the things I did. I don't sing, if you can't tell. I didn't do for you. Hate me in ways, yeah, ways hard to swallow. Hate me so okay. You can finally see what's good for you. So, yeah, that's the...
Yeah,
so I love this song. And when he wrote it, it's about something entirely different. But, you know, your brain has a way of taking it and molding things to how you're feeling. So,
Yeah, I would say the brain doesn't have a heart and the heart doesn't have a brain. So two don't really communicate.
Right.
Clearly enough. So when something like that comes along, it sort of attaches itself to that emotional feeling. And your heart's like, no, that has nothing to do with that whole thing. Your brain's like, shut up, heart. Just do your fucking thing, and I'll do mine. And we're going to watch Gilmore Girls for the next 4 fucking hours. We're going to cry. We're going to eat fucking some fucking mozzarella sticks and some fucking ice cream, and we're just going to, you know, feel better about ourselves.
I'm so going to get ice cream after this.
I know, right?
But my funny song is about the same psychopath.
Okay.
And this is like his ultimate theme song, and that's Katy Perry, Hot and Cold.
Wow. You're hot when you're cold.
You're yes fresh. And you're no. You're in and you're out. You're up and you're down. You're wrong when it's right. It's like, yeah, that song describes the psycho perfectly.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
Because he's hot and he's cold.
It's called malaria.
I hope he gets malaria. But
can we call that the name of the show? I hope he gets
malaria. I hope he gets malaria.
So,
I want, like, nothing good should happen to this human being. He's the worst. And, I looked at him once, like, it got to a point in our relationship where I used to have to walk on eggshells with him. Everything I said, because he would take it so, like, he would take everything so literally. He would twist my words around, all this sorts of shit. And then I remember the moment my brain snapped, and I didn't give a shit about what I said to him anymore. Did not care, and it would just fly right out of my mouth. I would have no control over what I said. I did not care. did not in any way give any sort of flying fuck how he felt, because he spent years not giving a shit about me, so why should I give a shit now? And I used to tell him to hop off his man period all the time.
It's called menstruation, by the way.
Menstruation, yep. So I used to tell him to hop off his man period. I used to tell him to get the sand out of his vagina. Now he drove me to this. I was very, very nice for a very long time, and I catered to everything he wanted like an idiot. But don't do that, girls. If you take anything, guys who might be in a relationship, don't ever cater to someone, especially if they don't deserve it. So that's just a waste of time. And I got a bark of approval. She says, yes, girl, yes. I don't know why my female dog is a gay man.
We know. We all know.
We know. She was gender reassigned. She's very fluid. It's okay. I accept her.
The reason why Katy Perry called that song Hot and Cold is because bipolar would be a little too on the nose, I think.
Right, exactly. And especially paired with his alcoholism. It was insanity. So I was like, I'm so out of here.
Hello, gasoline, meet fire, fire, meet gasoline. Enjoy your time together. Yes.
Yeah.
An amazing bonfire that we're about ready to see.
Yeah. That's pretty epic.
So I got a funny one, too.
Yeah.
So I was in college at Millersville University here in just outside of Lancaster. And I was working with my mom at the cafeteria there. She was a lunch lady for like 22 years at this college, and she was a rock star. And so I was in a bad way, and I needed a job. And so she said, come out, work the summer, everything else, before the next semester starts. And, just kind of get outside of your broken head. My dad had died that previous year, and so I need something to kind of get me distracted from that whole thing. And so I'm there. It's funny how I live with, this is funny that so dad died and, things were sad and, I'm sitting there. But no. So it boiled down to, I started working there in the cafeteria, and there's this girl that's working there named Becky. And Becky is just super adorable. Like, she's like, 5 foot nothing. She's got great curves. She's got huge tracts of land. Thank you for getting the reference. God damn it, Samantha, I just love you. The day is fucking long. But no, she's got all those things. But that's not what really attracted me to her. She just seemed like so, like I said, so cute and adorable and innocent. And so we start talking, and eventually said we're going to go maybe hang out a couple of times, and we start dating, and things sort of get really serious, over time. And so this is around about the early 2000s. Actually, no, the late 90s, actually. Yeah, the very late, like 99, I would say. But whatever. Whenever the song by Sixpence, None the Richer, came out by the name of Kiss Me, and that was our song.
Oh, yeah.
And so this, like, cute little adorable, like, singer, like, Kiss Me Beneath the Milky. Yeah, that was, like, our jam.
Yep.
Now, when we met, she was in college, obviously. It wasn't like some creepy, other thing. But she was in college, and she was a self-admitted, she was a virgin. And she made a promise to her family.
You dog.
No. First of all, no, you don't. You don't know.
Oh? Was that grass on the field, bro? Was that grass on the field?
Did not play ball. I walked away. I was a free agent. I walked the fuck away. Let me get there. Hold
Did on. You flip it over playing the mud then? Come on, bro.
I love you. This dude is every fucking week. God damn it, Samantha. Well, that temptation was there, but not the point of the story. Come down, you evil, evil, soulless human being.
Oh, now, I take that as a compliment, my dear.
Just like, just lick it off my fingers. Nah.
Feed my ego. It's how I eat.
Bathe me in your judgment. Anyway. Anyway, so we start dating, and obviously she's a virgin. She's also not just a virgin. She's like uber Christian. And knock knock, who's there? How uber Christian was she? Let me tell you. We would hang out in her dorm room, you know, for a little bit, maybe like a little bit of a, you know, a very non second base, well, maybe a little bit of second base, but not anything beyond that.
Can I guess how Christian?
How Christian?
Can I guess how Christian? She sewed you into the bed with one foot on the floor.
First of all four of her feet were on the floor at all times. It was a very awkward make-out session slash dry hump, but it was it job was done. You know, the Yelp review was solid, 5 stars, no complaints, all the way across the board. No, she was so Christian that we would hang out in her dorm room, and when her roommate wasn't there, how did we pass the time? Oh, I know. We watched VeggieTales.
Oh, my God. I was going to make a joke and say VeggieTales, but oh, my God. I just knew. I knew. Oh, man, we're right here. I knew you were going to fucking say VeggieTales.
Trust your fucking gut, lady. I swear to God. I know more about, was it Larry and Larry the Tomato? Or Larry the fucking, I don't remember their names anymore, but we would watch these fucking videos and all like uber Christians. Oh, this is my favorite one. I was like, yeah, this is great. Can we go back to the whole like me touching your boobs thing? Can we go back there for a hot minute? But so anyway, we dated for a year and change. And at a certain point, I broke up with her. I dumped her. And when I dumped her, she still had the pink slip to her hymen. So, thank you. Personal restraint. Refused to cross that line. Wanted to. Was close to on many an occasion, but never did.
Well, good for you.
Why I'm so... Oh, good for... What good for you? Good for you. You broke from both hearts. Some cute little Christian girl that's going to have to listen to MXPX for the next 5 fucking months. To get your fucking memory out of her head.
Yeah, you know she fucked the first guy she saw, right, after that?
Hard and often, you know, like wherever you could find time, like in like a phone booth, you know.
Like she found Big Don's phone number on the stall of a bath, on a bathroom stall at a bar one night, and she just called it.
For a good time, call Man Thing. 555 Dick. The number, just Dick. Maybe like the numbers written out, it's like a picture of a dick.
I want that to be my phone number. Like, I want my phone number to spell something funny. Oh, man.
So, yeah, to this day, every time I hear Kiss Me by... Sixpence on the Richer.
Mm-hmm.
I back about my time with Becky, and it, to be perfectly honest, like I had said to her at one point in time, like, you know, so when you've graduated from college, what are your thoughts on us getting married? Like, I was that serious about this girl, and it wasn't because of that whole physical aspect. It wasn't that whole thing. It was something else. It was because, like, you know, it wasn't quite working out between the two of us. I was a very bad, bad influence on her, and she was a very good, clean, Christian gal who, I mean, for as much as she didn't do that one thing, she did a lot of other things, which were also very fun, but still, it's...
But it's not penetration, so you're still pure in the eyes of the Lord.
Exactly, exactly.
Except the Lord's going, that ain't how it works, honey.
So when Kirk Cameron disappears from planet Earth, when the fucking, you know, the Ragnarok or the fucking, what they called it, like all the souls go up to heaven.
The rapture?
Exactly, the rapture happens.
The Ragnarok, which, I mean, is technically their version of rapture, but that's a geek talk we can have another day.
It's not rapture, it's rapture. So I guess my last one is kind of sad, so I can save that, or if you have another one.
I do have one that I kind of like. It's a slower, like, rock ballad by Apocalyptica.
Oh, dude, yeah. Dude, I interviewed them.
Oh, you what?
I interviewed them.
Ah, Jell. I like them.
Well, it was an honor. It was my first solo interview for KUFO. They were in town, and so Marconi refused to show up. And so, like, okay, Jim, guess what? It's all you, buddy. It's your show. However you want to do it. I'm like, okay, this is great. I did all the prep work. I knew everything I knew about them. I knew they were, like, you know, a bunch of, like, you know, college students, graduate students that they were, you know, just hung out in, like, the social lounge. They played cello. They all loved metal. And so, they just, like, played these amazing songs, this and the other. Something I didn't know is they all speak, like, the most fractured English known to man.
So, oh, yeah.
Your first album was amazing. Like, you know, it broke so many records. It's the first album to ever, like, utilize, like, classical instruments to exemplify these awesome metal songs. How did you guys come to that whole thing of, like, this is, you know, this is your sound. This is, like, your thing. Like, it was good.
they just sound like Robin Williams from Mrs. Doubtfire. I am Job.
Job. Sorry, the decision has been filled. I'm sorry, I have to go. I don't like the boys because I used to be one. Like,
I used to be one.
Tyler back there, Gunter, or whoever, former, you know, bassist for, you know, Death Clock or whatever. Your Death Clock. Oops, your Death Clock.
My Death Clock is between my legs. Yeah, I'm saying,
tick, 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 boom.
Dynamite, tick, 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 boom, dynamite. The song I Don't Care. Like, if you're dead or still alive, I don't care. I do not give a fuck. So, you know, and then these are all about the same dude because he's horrible. So, like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. So, yeah.
This reminds me of a song. This reminds me actually of a movie that I used to have at. I worked at a porn store for about, give or take, 4 years. And we had a movie called Necromantic.
Oh my god, I've seen that movie.
And the sequel? Necromantic?
Never saw the sequel. I have a. Okay, we're over our time, so we are going to have to get into that movie the next time we record because I have got a story about that movie, and okay, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
next week's topic.
The sign of a good podcast is you always leave one more, so.
Damn straight.
Samantha, you're rad as fuck. I love you as the day is long. We connected on levels that I was not expecting.
I love you too. You're now my new best friend.
Besties.
Oh my god, besties. Like, hashtag BFF. Forever.
Okay, so we'll wrap this one up here, and then next week, possibly, if James and Bryce get their fucking shit together, you know, it'll be the four of us. Otherwise, you know what, next week, I'm totally fine with it just being you and me again.
Woo!
Amazing, relationship, friendship, you're Batman, I'm Nightwing, like, you know, like, we've got this whole thing kind of going on. I think, like, we could actually make this whole other side project a thing, so we'll see from here on out.
We're just, like, planning the demise of James and Dan and Bryce, and, like, we will take over, so.
Yeah, we were not the ones planning, we're just joining the Black Parade. So, but I was a young boy.
And with that wonderful image, bye everyone. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And You wanted it. You asked for it. You got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.